That's one way that you can use, you know, the Ten Commandments. We need to study the Ten Commandments. We need to know them and meditate upon them, knowing that they are the law of God. It is divine because the Ten Commandments, they were given by God to Moses. It's not something that the church just suddenly invented, you know. We call them divine law, the divine law, because they come directly from God. And in there we see the will of God for all of us, how we are to relate with him. And then in the second part, how we are to relate with each other. So we have talked about the first three commandments. And again, just to give a little synopsis, we talk about how we can use this, the first commandment, doing the rounds of creation, acknowledging God that, yes, you are my God, you are my Lord, and I acknowledge you in the sun of the light, in, you know, in all creation. So that's one way that you can relate that with the first commandment. The second commandment is not to use his name in vain. In vain, you know, is to use the name of the Lord when we know that we are not doing what he is asking of us. So in vain, we are using his name when we know that we are not on the right path. We know that God requires for us to follow this precepts as his children. In there we find his heavenly voice and fatherly love and voice that tells us how much he loves us. And the law is not meant to be a burden for us. It's meant to give us freedom, to free our soul, to be detached from everything else, so we can give God what is really due to him. And not to use his name in vain is to keep his law, to keep the law, to keep the law, and to keep the day of the Lord holy is something that is required for us. If God is our Father, you know how we are to honor him. On Saturday, we establish that in the Old Testament, it was the Sabbath, you know, and it started on the evening of Friday. And they rested, they kept the law, they kept themselves from doing work on Saturday. That's why in the gospel, many times we see the reproach of the Pharisees and other people when Jesus performed miracles on Saturday because they rested. And we explain also that Sunday is the day of the resurrection. So it is the new creation. Sunday is the day of the resurrection of our Lord. So we keep it holy. It's greater than the Sabbath because we have passed from the law to the life of grace. So now Jesus has established the new Sabbath, we could say. His resurrection makes the day of the Lord, the Sunday, makes it greater. So how do we honor the Lord? We worship him, you know, we go to Mass, we apply ourselves to become holy, and we use that day to do honest work according to our vocation. And we explained last Sunday, I explained to you that if you are a father, you're a husband, you're a mother, a wife, so apply yourself and try to dedicate yourself to spend time with your children, your wife, your husband. So those things that the Lord is calling you to do, you fulfill the day of the Lord by working on your vocation, by being what the Lord asks you to be, to practice that. So those are the three first commandments that we already have talked about in the past. And again, in there we see the will of God for us. And the law of the Lord help us to make preparations to receive what comes after that. Is the foundation, we said, is the foundation of every spirituality, is the foundation that the Lord gave to his people to lead them into the promised land, into the life of holiness for us. And it is the foundation for us, and we want to look at it in that way and study it in this way. So again, we need to know it, we need to study it, and we need to meditate on that. And with the gift of the divine will, we can use it even to do rounds of creation and even to fulfill that that law that we want to make part of our life in the divine will. Today we are going to focus in the fourth commandment that is very important. The fourth commandment is honor your father and mothers. And this commandment especially is very important because it refers to the life of the family. The family that is the most ancient society, we can say piece of society, because before any others group of people can be known, you know, is the family, is the first. So before we can know the term or the sentiment of a nation, of a state, of a city, we belong to a family. So it's the tiniest and the oldest because it is established by God in the Garden of Eve by creating a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, and by constituting them as a family, as a husband and wife, and telling them, ordering them to multiply. So it's the oldest piece, the oldest group, we can say, and is the nucleus of everything. So we have to look at this commandment as a very, very important for us in our time, even, because without this commandment, children, they will be lost. Children will be lost. And parents will be responsible for their children if they do not know the law of God. So this commandment, I want to go to Exodus 20. We went last week to Exodus 20. And Exodus 20, 12 says, honor your father and your mothers, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So it's a commandment. It's one of the commandments. And in there, God is telling the people of Israel, honor your father and mothers. Why do we honor father and mothers? We honor them because it is a commandment. It comes from God. Remember, the law is given by God. It's not something that the church just invented or came out with this idea. How do we honor father and mothers? Well, by to be obedient, respect. And this commandment that God gives us, it is for our own good. Obedience to God in the fourth commandment gives us long life. The reward of honoring our father and mother is long life. Let's go to Malachi 4:4. These are only some reference about this commandment. Our class is not really a Bible study class, is about the Ten Commandments and how we find this in the Old Testament. I'm just giving you some reference here. In Malachi, we find Malachi 4:4 says, remember the law of my servant Moses, to whom the law was given to Moses. So the Lord says through Malachi, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances that I commanded him, I gave to him at Horeb of all, at Horeb in Israel. So again, it's a reference in there. And then you go to the Deuteronomy in chapter 6, 4 to 7. And actually, it's at the beginning, all the way till 9. The Lord says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them to your children, to meditate on them. Later on it says, you shall post them on the doorpost of your house and meditate on them. So this is a call that God is given to the parents, that it is your obligation to teach this law to your children. It is your moral duty. If God has entrusted you something, which is your children, you ought to see them as something that has been to be entrusted to you, and therefore you will be responsible for what you do with them. So it is very important, because the Lord will ask you, as a parent, you have responsibility, because you are the first teachers. You are the first ones to form your children before even they go to school, before even they go to church. You are the first ones. So how do we honor father and mother as children? By obeying our parents, by showing them loving respect. How are you going to receive loving respect from your children if they do not know that it is a commandment, that it is something that God requires of them? Why do we honor father and mother? Because after God, the love of the father and the mother is the most holy, because through our parents, God gives us life. So this commandment binds us. When we are children, that means we have to obey our parents. You know, they say, Johnny, you cannot do this. Johnny, you have to make your bed. Johnny, you have to make your room. This and that, you know. And little Johnny has to obey. In that way, he is pleasing God by honoring his parents. But when Johnny talks back to his parents and says, you know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, disobedience. The Ten Commandments should be, as the Book of Deuteronomy says, posted in our doors or somewhere in our house. It's as a reminder of what God expects from all of us. That's when we are children. That's how we obey. But and then when we are older, how do we honor father and mothers? By helping them in whatever way we can. Always loving respect, showing loving respect and obedience, knowing that in helping them, God is pleased. They are our first neighbor, basically. And when they are alive and we help them, that's how we honor God. In the book of Sirach 3, from 10 to 16, the Lord tells us that anything that you do for your parents in their old age, God will never overlook that. That anything that you do for your parents in their old age, He will keep always in mind. Do not glorify yourself by dishonoring your fathers, the Lord says. For kindness to a father will not be forgotten. And against your sins, it will be credited to you. And you can read more till 16. It's all about the fourth commandment. So they are to be honored. What about when they pass and they are not here with us anymore? Well, still you have to pray for them. That's how you honor them. You honor them by praying for them and by if they knew the faith, yeah? So by following those good things about the faith. So we are obliged to pray for them even when they are dead. And some people, they may say, well, you know, there is no point to pray for them anymore if they are already gone. No, because if they are in purgatory, your prayers will help them. Well, what about if they are already in heaven? Those prayers are not wasted because they receive even more light. They will receive light in their soul. So your prayers will never be wasted. So pray for them. Plus, since heaven is perfection, those who are in heaven and receive the new light from your prayers, they will be obliged to pray for you. Because if they were not praying for you, they will not pray for you, that will constitute an act of selfishness. And in heaven, there is no selfishness, it's perfection. So by praying for relatives, for parents who are dead, you know, if they are in heaven, they will experience new joys, new light, something new about God. Their joy will be redoubled. And you will have their prayers because in exchange for that, they will have to pray for you as an act of thanksgiving. That they have to do it because otherwise it will constitute an act of selfishness again. So father and mother, they give, you know, father and mother, they are the first donors in life because they donate themselves for us children. So they are the first teachers, the first friends, the first donors, and their love is sacred because parents have power over us children, given by God, power to bless us. That's why it's also very important for parents to bless them, always to bless children, to bless them, because That power doesn't come from anybody else but from God. It's a divine power, we can say. You know? And when parents teach this divine law to the children, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. But you are to sow the seed. You are to sow the seed because it is your moral duty. How do we, you know, children of God, dare to disobey our Heavenly Father? This commandment is also in relation with God, to all of us with God. Because to honor, the fourth commandment says, honor father and mothers. Who is our fathers? In the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples that we pray at the beginning, and is basically what we study in the divine will, that we want to have the fulfillment of the our fathers in our midst. The Lord teaches that we have a father, that we have a father, and that he's given us a divine law. So by obeying the fourth commandment, you know, we are pleasing God. So this is in relation also with God the Father. What happened when Adam disobeyed? What happened with Adam disobeyed? When Adam disobeyed, everything was lost. Listen, this passage that comes from the book of heaven, it comes from volume 33, December 10, 1933. It says that the first words that Adam spoke as soon as he felt the breath of God, the life of God in him, is, these are the words, I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. This commandment tells us that we have to honor our Heavenly Father by obeying his precepts, his law, the Ten Commandments. So God is pleased. So don't think that this is only for children, that only in relation to us, father and mothers. But it's also in relation to God, the Father, the giver of all life, the father of all creation. So we cannot take, you know, this commandment for granted. What happened when children disobeyed the parents? There is animosity. There is division. There is disorder. And it's exactly for us that we know the book of heaven, is exactly what happened. What happened when Adam disobeyed God? What happened when he disobeyed the commandment not to eat from the tree that was forbidden? He lost his union with God. And he lost the gift that was given, the gift that we are trying to know and to acquire in our study. That's why we go back to the basics, so that we can have a good foundation, knowing that in the Ten Commandments, we find the will of God for us, that the Ten Commandments enlightened our soul to the right path. So the Ten Commandments, they represent order. And we know in the book of Genesis, we know from the book of heaven that at the beginning there was disorder, chaos, a void, and God came and established order in the whole creation. Well, for the purpose of our study in the divine will, now you have to see it like this. Through the Ten Commandments, God wants to bring order into our soul, to establish orders so that each soul becomes another heaven where the will of God is established. So that while we are here on earth, we start living that life. But there has to be order. In the same way that there had to be order at the beginning in the whole creation, there had to be order in the person. And the Ten Commandments is the path. So we are not only called to order, to align ourselves to the commandments. Now we are called to a higher call also, holiness and perfection. But you cannot acquire perfection without order. So that's why I wanted to start with this, with the Ten Commandments. That is the basics. So we have to know them. We have to know them, we have to meditate on them, we have to love them. And each one of you has to, you know, really make a real act of contrition or examination, you know, and see how you can be better. How can you help your children, your grandchildren? Or maybe your great children, you know, because without the law of God, we become, you know, like as the Lord says in some other revelations, we become like wild animals. No more different than the wild beast. Okay,
Paul. Oh, there he is. Hallelujah.
And we are over time already, so we lost time here, but we are going to finish this one, but as I been saying, and I showed some of the reference in the Bible, we have to really take seriously this commandment, and especially I was telling all of you to meditate on them and to see in them the will of God, to see them the first orders, a path in which you can order your soul. I was mentioning that in the book of Genesis, God created, and the book of Genesis says that there were, in the beginning, there was disorder, there was chaos, and God came and brought order. So now see your soul as that little place that God is bringing order through the Ten Commandments. And through that, you can see that the will of God will establish itself in your soul. If you have an organized house, spiritually speaking, right? So the Ten Commandments are very important, especially this one too, because it's something that the generations of children now, they do not know. And without having this in their heart, in their soul, it will be very difficult to turn back to God also. And one of the things that you can do as grandmothers, as mothers, grandmothers, you know, teach them to your grandchildren. Get something with the Ten Commandments, a text, and whenever they go to your house, teach them. At least they know. You know, plant the seed in them and then let the Holy Spirit do. But at least you plant the seed in them. That this is what the Lord wants for us. And in this, we will see that if we follow this path, this is the right path, it will be easier for us even to understand later on the gift of the divine will. One of the things that you can do with this commandment is to acknowledge God. You know, I thank you, I love you, I adore you, I glorify you, God, for the gift of the divine will, for the gift of light, for being my Father, my Heavenly Father. And in the law, I want to find your promises, your blessings. There are many places in the Bible that tells us about the reward of those who follow the law. Another psalm that you should know is Psalm 127. All the blessings that follow, even though it is directed especially to men, it applies for all of us. In the Book of Heaven, in volume 36, this is at the end of the Book of Heaven, 36, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta about the destiny of Adam if he had not disobeyed the Lord. This passage is November 20, 1928. It's from volume 36 of the Book of Heaven. And it says, Adam's destiny was so radical change that he could not recognize himself any longer. See, that act of disobedience brought so much disfigure in him. It disfigurated the soul. One act of disobedience. We could say, even though he had not given that law at that time, Adam didn't have the Ten Commandments, but he disobeyed our Heavenly Fathers. And in doing that, he brought the consequences for us. So he could no longer recognize himself. And he descended into the miseries, the Lord says. So he lost his strength. He no longer felt the power within him, the power of the likeness of God growing in him, you know, growing in his likeness with every single act. By obeying the Ten Commandments, you know, we also grow in the divine will, because it's an act of the will to obey. It's an act of the will. To obey any of the Ten Commandments is an act of the will. We have to force ourselves. We have to want to obey, because it doesn't come naturally, you know? And by obeying the law and possessing this gift, imagine possessing the gift of the divine will, obeying the law, brings that to perfection. In a way, we are perfecting the law through our acts. Isn't that wonderful? That law can be perfected by us obeying it. So as children of our Heavenly Father, we have to obey Him. And we have to see in the Ten Commandments His will, His love and mercy for all of us, that this is the path to follow. This is the path that will lead us to order and then to perfection through the sacraments. So let us finish here, and I just want to again encourage you to know them, you know, to know the Ten Commandments and just to meditate on them and to use them to do even the rounds of creation. As I show you, next week we are going to follow, we are going to continue with the next commandment. You shall not kill. Just to give you a preview, this commandment also, you shall not kill, spiritually refers to us too. Sin kills, gives death to the soul. That's why we call, in the church, we call the seven deadly sins, because they give death to the soul. So we will talk more about that next Sunday. I hope you were able to get something out of this little chat. And I encourage all of you to read the Book of Heaven and to pray and really to love the Ten Commandments. I don't know if we have sometime we have 10 minutes or so for some questions related to our study. And we ask Heaven of God, Capita Beta, to intercede for us, to intercede and to give us her prayers as we strive to come to know this gift of living in the divine will, to help us advance in holiness and to really order our souls to receive this grace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.